Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.
Well, welcome back to our second hour here on Circles of Change. Great sunny hot day in Arizona. As always, it's great to touch base with a professional elsewhere in the country. So Alexandra Zenoff up in San Francisco. How are you this morning, Alexandra?
Hello, I am doing well, thanks. How are you?
Terrific, thank you. Let me do a brief introduction of Alexandra. She's a community health educator who's about to begin a master's in public health program at Columbia University, packing her bags and moving back east. A native of San Francisco, Alexandra graduated from the Johns Hopkins University with a Bachelor of Arts in International Studies as well as East Asian Studies in 2010, which included a semester abroad in Shanghai, China. Upon graduation, she became a Peace Corps volunteer in Cambodia to pilot a community health education program at a health center without a doctor in a very remote rural village where, quite honestly, no one had even seen a foreigner before. Since return to the U.S. 2 years ago, Alexandra has been working at a San Francisco Bay Area public high school with Health Corps, educating at-risk youth about nutrition, physical activity, and mental resilience. She has also been a learning team leader to routinely help 16 peer coordinators. Through experiential learning opportunities such as cooking, yoga, and health fairs, Alexandra works to empower youth to make positive choices in their lives. And her primary interest, as she's about to launch off into graduate school at Columbia, will be learning about how social determinants impact health disparities. Specifically, she hopes to learn about how to make health promotion efforts culturally appropriate and meaningful to underserved populations. So that's quite a mission that you're on, my friend.
Yes, yes it is. I am so excited to go back to school and really learn a lot more about how to make these programs more efficient and more appealing to our targeted population.
You know, I think the other piece of it, though, is you're probably unique. It'll be interesting to see your future classmates as to how many of them, though, have had so much on-the-ground experience in very, at least for us Americans, non-traditional places of the world.
Right. Yeah, I think it's really going to add a lot to learning about these theories and these concepts, but to be able to take a step back and really think, well, would that have worked at this rural village health center in Cambodia?
Yeah.
Maybe, maybe not.
So I would like to know, maybe you could just start out and tell us what it was like to be in the Peace Corps, and particularly a program that they were piloting in such a...
Absolutely. So Peace Corps had always really been my dream, and that was definitely what I wanted to do after college. The only thing I applied for, got everything ready early. I was just so ready to go and so excited to go. I was thrilled when I found out I would be in Cambodia since I was an East Asian Studies major. Our Peace Corps training was very extensive. We learned language, which is Khmer, in Cambodia for 4 hours a day, and we learned about what was culturally appropriate. We lived with Cambodian host families, and then we were sent off. So Peace Corps Cambodia is actually a very new program. Peace Corps has been around for over 50 years, but in some countries it is still very new. So I was the fourth generation of Peace Corps volunteers, but the first generation of the community health educators. So
I
we
see.
Were trained about health issues in Cambodia, but really our assignment was to go into this village. We were each in a separate village, go into a village, sit in the health center, and just observe and create a role for yourself. So being part of the pilot program was definitely an adventure because there was very little guidance or really support.
And so tell me, how did you then come to develop your role? Was it more of you're just allowing kind of needs to come to you as opposed to you go to the needs?
Yeah, so I do think that was the hope in having us observe before giving us a mission, is to really see what the community needs were and to try to do some basic community needs assessments. So at the health center that I worked at, where there was no doctor, but there were some nurses and some midwives, I realized that the people who came in daily were mostly pregnant women or new moms with their infant babies. So I felt that the best opportunity would be to focus on maternal health and infant health, especially since Cambodia, unfortunately, has a very high rate of maternal and infant mortality still to this day. So I decided to just jump right in and to work with the midwives about what do they think that these women should know. And then my role was really to make this health education sort of like a consultation part of the standard checkup instead of just measuring and weighing, listening for the heartbeat, but to really ask questions about do you plan to breastfeed? Where do you plan to give birth? Have you been taking your prenatal supplements? Just to sort of make that standard along with the checkup.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, this is a population that wouldn't necessarily have access to the kind of knowledge that we have in other parts of the developed world at all.
Yes, that is true. Many people had either never left the village or the commune or just the close area. So I do think it was a little startling to see this very tall Caucasian woman just sitting in the prenatal care room waiting for the pregnant women to come in. But I really tried to put these women at ease and explain who I was and just try to make it a dialogue, not so much of a monologue, but really hear from them what they were thinking, what they felt was important.
And so tell me, well, I can imagine they must have approached you with tremendous curiosity. What kind of questions did they ask you?
Yeah, so I was a bit of an attraction just because this village had not seen foreigners before. So I got a lot of questions, which really actually opened my eyes to what people's perceptions of Americans were. So they understood that I was an American, but some of the questions were, did you bike here from America?
Wow.
Is there a moon in America? Which definitely led me to try to think back to my limited knowledge of using, you know, drawing a solar system and trying to explain all this in very limited Khmer. And I think to me the most shocking question was, are there children in America?
Really?
So that really showed that so then I took that opportunity to explain, yes, there are, and we're just like you. I was once a child, I was born from my mother, and then I grew to be this person. And to me that just really showed that, wow, we're all human, but there's this concept that maybe we're not alike at all.
Yeah, or you would say the huge cultural divides.
Yes, exactly.
Well, the idea of you being in this village and having, you know, so few months of the foreign language at your grasp, what was your favorite part about learning the language?
Well, I absolutely love the immersion process and just having such a supportive, wonderful host family and friends and colleagues who understood that I did not know all the vocabulary I needed and really being patient with me and letting me kind of talk around the words I didn't know and try to explain what I wanted to say, and then they taught me the words. So I think my favorite part was getting to the stage where I could make jokes or I could make puns
right.
And just to make people laugh and just to sort of realize that there was this closeness, and the whole point of language is to communicate and to really get to know one another. So for me, once I could start making some very basic jokes and making people smile, that's when I really felt like I was starting to fit in.
Well, and you know, I went through a similar experience after studying German for 3 years in high school and then went into a complete immersion program for a summer where we signed a piece of paper that said we would not use any English for anything for
Wow.
3 months.
Wow.
And so that meant even not watching the news, nothing. Of course, I'm dating myself. CNN was not around at that point in time, so it wasn't like you could turn on a lot of American, although there was British television nearby. But you're right, it's when the point you could make a joke and actually they get your joke. See, that's one thing. It's
right.
One thing to make it, and then if it really makes sense to make that happen. Well, you know, in
yes.
The course, if you look back at your undergraduate studies, Alexander, because I think there are listeners that might be really intrigued to understand this, is you went on the path to study international studies and the like, but what was that connection then to the public health hook? Did that come as a result of, you know, a long-term fascination with health in general or another internship, or what drew you to go in that direction with your background?
So my interest in international relations was always that kind of cross-cultural communication, being involved with people across the world. And it took me a while to figure out well, what did I want to do in that capacity? Did I want to try to be a diplomat, foreign service? What would that really look like just to, you know, to be involved with people from different countries? And it took me some time to realize that I really wanted to empower people by providing health education. So to me, I came to the health education part a little bit later. I think I was a senior when it sort of clicked and I realized this is how I want to be involved internationally. And I felt that the Peace Corps, being a health educator in Cambodia, was the perfect blending of those two interests. And it really showed me that the politics, language, history, all that that I had studied for my undergraduate degree was very relevant, and I just needed to learn the health skills on top of that, but that they weren't so separate after all.
And I suspect part and parcel that was your own quest to maintain health, well-being, exercise, and so on in the mix.
Yes, absolutely. I think it is an interest of mine. Being a volleyball player in college, I feel like being part of that effort to be healthy and to spread that message of health is a really great way to just try to make the world a little bit of a better place.
Well, and I would tell you that my guess is a lot of your studies you're about to launch into at Columbia in the area of public health education and programs, you probably wouldn't have to go overseas to find a very ripe audience that's going to need what you could offer as well. So, you know, the doors are going to be a cornucopia of possibilities, I bet, will surface in the course of all this. Well, when you came back to the States from the Peace Corps, then you opted to work domestically here then, still staying in the health field, but now into an underserved community in the public schools in the U.S. What have been some of the surprises and maybe even parallels from what you had encountered overseas?
I was really excited to have the opportunity to work through Health Corps, and especially in my own community, but just a different part of my community. And I was really shocked by the need there is for health information and health communication, behavior change communication, just in my own backyard. I didn't need to go all the way across the world, even though that was fantastic and very stimulating and important in my life. But to be able to work in my own community and to realize that there are so many subcultures here domestically that it's really important to consider carefully how we portray this information, because it can totally go in one ear and out the other if it's not culturally appropriate, it's not relevant, doesn't seem realistic, doesn't seem accessible. So there were some similar issues with just projecting my American views in Cambodia, same with some of my views here in the U.S., talking to youth from very different cultural backgrounds. So, for example, Health Corps coordinators often find responses like, oh, I can't eat that, that's white people food. It really challenges us to change our approach. What we're presenting as healthy food or a fun exercise, we need to make sure that we're really reaching our targeted audience and not just saying, well, this is what I do and it works for me.
Is that right? So give us some other examples. What do you mean when we say, you know, behavioral change communication? That's an interesting word.
So basically, trying to get people to change their behaviors so that they'll have better health. The way that we communicate to actually make people want to change is more than just presenting the facts or this study says eat this amount of vegetables, but really kind of it has to be more like the motivation and the inspiration and how to make those changes incorporate well with the rest of your life and the rest of your goals. And I think it really requires getting to know somebody personally to think of, okay, how can you adopt this change? So, for example, Health Corps was started by Dr. Oz, and he, from the Dr. Oz show, and he always says people don't change because of what they know, they change because of how they feel.
Right.
So a lot of our work with these youth especially is to make them want to make these changes because it's better for their health. But it's really about how they feel. It's not just throwing information at them.
In examples, as you look at, you know, some of the success stories, you reached out while working in the public schools here in San Francisco. Was it about, you know, helping children that wouldn't have had a diet rich in vegetables really now embrace one? Or some examples?
Yeah, so that's definitely part of it. In our cooking club, we tried to cook foods from all different cultures, and so they were very healthy versions, but we did spring rolls and quesadillas and stir fries and you name it. And so if it was familiar food, then they could go bring this home and cook it for their families, and it wouldn't seem so unusual.
Right.
But it was just a very healthy version. Or at yoga or Zumba clubs after school. Some students who said, oh, I hate running, or I don't like PE, or I don't like team sports, they still have to work up a sweat in a very safe environment, and often an all-female environment, really, and still find, oh, I do like exercise, I just didn't know it because I was never exposed to exercise like this before.
This exploring, right, or even to view that dancing is exercise, which for kids,
right,
of course, comes very naturally to them.
Yes, exactly.
And then I know Health Corps is also very well known for the kind of health fairs that they put on, but they're not, you know, just fairs that push brochures, right? I mean, there's a lot of games and ways to engage the youth at the same time.
Absolutely. So that is one reason that Health Corps is such a fantastic, fun job, is that we try to make everything very engaging. So everything is an activity, and there's a takeaway message. And so that activity, whether it's making smoothies or doing an obstacle course, making stress balls that you can take home later, whatever it is, there is a message, but also it was fun. And so the students have a really positive association with doing something healthy.
So if you think back on the time that you spent in Cambodia in the Peace Corps with that public health, you know, startup program, and now put that next to the additional learnings you got in working with youth in the U.S., what kind of recommendations would you make back to the Peace Corps if you were so inclined to be asked?
Well, that's actually one of my fantasy jobs for the future, would be to help design some of the Peace Corps health programming. I would say, for the Peace Corps, there's such a rich history and so many fantastic volunteers across the world who are really making these grassroots projects happen. So I would really hope that the different Peace Corps countries could continue communicating and really support one another, so that when a new country opens, you're not just sending volunteers out there to start from scratch, but you really have some, whether it's studies or even just sort of testimonials, whatever, that other Peace Corps volunteers could share about how to start a program. And I know that Peace Corps Cambodia is developing very quickly. The volunteers are making manuals for themselves, sharing knowledge, really just doing amazing work. And I think that the more sort of systematic training that can happen before individuals are sent out to just sort of figure it out for themselves, I think that's really the key there.
And I think, you know, that goes for a lot of field-based organizations. But then on the other hand, you can't read it in the manual, right? You had to go there and have someone ask you, did you bike here from America? How did you respond to that question, by the way?
That's a very good question. I really tried to in a very friendly way, kind of explain whatever answer I was giving. So instead of saying, like, no, it's too far, I realized, you know what, I need to get some maps. Let's get some maps, and let's just like start sitting down with maps and kind of looking at where is Cambodia? Cambodia is within Asia. Where is the U.S.? Where am I from in the U.S.? So I just think the whole part of a really open communication and trying to not be closed or judgmental or this is the way it is, but just to kind of, well, let's look, let's explore. Like, what would that look like to try to bike here? Oh, well, here's the ocean, here's the distance. Just to really explore with people and take the time to do that.
The type of women that you were helping then, either new moms or expectant moms, I'm suspecting many of them were right in your age group, weren't they?
Yes, I was 22 when I started, and I definitely had many, I guess, patients who were younger or my same age, a few that were older, but I also tried to use that to my advantage in terms of building trust and showing that, oh my goodness, I know I look so different and why am I here, but hey, we're the same age, and just finding something small to compliment people on, just to show them, in some ways, I'm really just like you.
Well, Alexander, we're speaking with Alexandra Zenoff, by the way, who, those of you who may just joined us, she's talking about her global experiences starting from actually internships when you were in your undergraduate school, predominantly in Europe, if I recall, to then broadening your horizons and going into Asia, joining the Peace Corps, and then kind of in many regards doing Peace Corps or Health Corps right here in the United States. You know, one thing I wanted to ask you, I know that Health Corps certainly is known for working with at-risk youth in nutrition and physical activity, but there's also this category of mental resilience. So what are the type of programs that or services that Health Corps got involved to help youth in that category, Alexandra?
Mm-hmm. So the mental resilience component of Health Corps is really important because this is where we want to encourage youth to want to help themselves and want to make good choices. So it's a very broad category. We cover topics like sleep, stress management, controlling your anger, sort of conflict resolution with friends or peers. So it's pretty broad, but we feel like we can't do nutrition education or education about the importance of exercise without also looking at, okay, why are you going to make good choices? What does it look like to have good self-esteem? How do you really practice self-care? So it's kind of an underlying theme, really, to the other parts.
Absolutely, that really makes sense. Well, you're in the process of wrapping things up with Health Corps and packing up to head back east. So what are you going to be studying then in Columbia?
I am so excited, I have to say. I feel very lucky to have this opportunity. Within the School of Public Health, there are different departments, and the department that I'm going to be studying at is called Sociomedical Studies. So it is basically looking at social determinants of health disparities. So, for example, how does your gender or race or socioeconomic status, how does that actually affect your health? And there are so many studies going on revealing what we don't often think about, but what really is happening to these different subpopulations. So I'm really excited with my Peace Corps experience and also here in the Bay Area through Health Corps. Everything I've seen, yes, I feel that these social determinants are huge, and it's really important to address them and to overcome those barriers so that everybody can lead a very healthy life.
Very well put. And then typically the master's in public health degree, a lot of people do transition into the healthcare field, but also a lot of not-for-profit NGO work, don't they?
Yes, absolutely. So there are so many different directions you can take an MPH. A lot of it is still in the service realm, so nonprofits, NGOs. Some of it's policy, some of it is research, and also there's a huge overlap, too, among those three.
So I still can think, though, that you at some point are still going to look to do that Zumba class in the wilds of Cambodia, though.
Yes, I do. I love working with people. And so even though I think research is so important, and I do hope to learn a lot more about research methodologies and program evaluation, I think that's all obviously so crucial. But I think for me, I'm really looking to hopefully build a career where I can still have those really human, tangible connections.
Well, I have a hunch those human tangible connections will always follow you. But at the same time, your vocabulary is going to shift. I predict next time I have you on the air, you're going to talk about the phenomenological exposition on some study that you just were involved in. And we'll have to provide a translator, just like you may have needed when you were starting to learn the native language in Cambodia.
That sounds great. Yeah,
well, Alexandra, thank you so much for sharing your enthusiasm and zest, and also the wonderful portfolio of experiences you've either designed or they've fallen your way and you knew how to grab them. And I predict you'll continue to do that as you broaden your next circle of change, as we would say on our show. Have a great afternoon, and thanks so much for giving us your time today.
Thanks so much.
Take care. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.